Welcome to Ecclesia Principles, a biblical strategy for restoring America, with your host, Ray Eppert.
Thank you for joining us today. One of the things that I want to really get into here first on this program is to get an understanding of really what the word ecclesia means. It's not something that your average Christian uses. I mean, we may be familiar with it. We've heard it. But it's typically not used very often. Most people do know that ecclesia is the Greek word that when you look in Matthew chapter 16, and I'll go ahead and read this, Peter was asked, well, the whole group of disciples were asked, who do you say that I am? And Peter responded and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The Greek word there is ecclesia, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. A lot of people do know that that word there that is church, in the Greek, it is ecclesia. Now, a while back, I kind of got into this thing of looking at the etymology of words, looking at where it came from, how it developed, how it changed in different languages. I mean, I wasn't really deep into that, but I was enjoying certain aspects of that because there were certain words that I wanted to see the deeper meanings of those words. And so one day I decided, I'm going to see how ecclesia became church. What was the pattern that it went through? What were the languages? Well, when I looked up the etymology of church, I was shocked. I'll be honest with you, I was shocked. I found out that the word church does not come from the word ecclesia. Even though that's the Greek word in this passage, the word church does not come from ecclesia. It actually comes from an entirely different Greek word. And at that point, you know, it went through from Greek, Latin, German, so forth into English. And I thought, well, what word came out of ecclesia? So I started looking for that. And there is no word. There is no English word that has come from the word ecclesia. In a manner of speaking, the way I would put it, like when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, they that believe and are baptized, the word baptize is a transliteration. In other words, they basically left the Greek word the same and just kind of made it English. And there isn't an equivalent English word for that. So they just kind of use that same thing. Now, with that, again, there is no word for ecclesia. And I began to go, well, why did they actually use a word that comes from a different Greek word? And so I actually went back and began to look at the King James Bible and the rules, because King James had given the translators certain rules that they were to translate by. It was, if you would, you could say he gave them a minimum. It was more than I thought would have been necessary, but he gave them a limited number of rules. One of them basically had to do with the idea of using the English word church rather than anything that identified ecclesia. Well, when you look at it and when you actually go back to the original meaning of ecclesia when Jesus spoke it, then you understand why the king didn't want them to be translating that word in its true meaning. Because ultimately, now, let me say this before we go on, because you say, well, I've looked it up, it means called out. Well, that's the Christianized version. If you go to Merriam-Webster, go to a dictionary, a secular dictionary, type in ecclesia, the overwhelming majority of them, again, depending on the caliber and the quality of it, will actually say it was the term for the Greek city-states, and it was their leadership. It was the citizens who had a vote to determine things for their community. That's what it actually meant the day that Jesus used it. And on this rock, I will build my ecclesia. King James wasn't too thrilled about people having this idea that they could vote. So that's not good for a king. You know, eventually it wasn't King James, but it was King George. We ended up having a little issue between America and Britain over the power of the vote and having the right to vote and the king not overriding it. And you see, that really led to our Revolutionary War. King James, he saw the problem with that word. He didn't want that word translated into the New Testament. Again, I encourage you to go look this stuff up. Don't just believe me. That is what it is. It's the citizens, if you would, who are allowed to dictate the culture. It's those citizens, it's the people that have the vote that get to say yay or nay about the issues of how life is lived in their jurisdiction, in their area, in their community. They get to have a say in that. Now, obviously, in the Greek city-states, there were a number of people that were not a part of that. So if you would, that's where they called out. They said, we're going to have a meeting, and you know, it's kind of like, well, we're going to have a town council meeting. Well, those who had the right to vote, they came out to the city gates, and they conducted their meeting there, and that's when they would vote. Now, everybody didn't come because everybody didn't have the vote. Thank God in America, every citizen has the right to vote. But this is what Jesus was talking about. If you would, Jesus was expecting his church to impact the culture of the world that they were living in. He was expecting the church to impact the culture of the area in which they were living. This is really what Jesus was saying. If you go on in verse 19, it fits. Jesus says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In other words, whatever you vote to allow, heaven will allow. Whatever you vote to forbid, heaven will forbid. In other words, actually in verse 18, well, actually the beginning of verse 19, he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. You've got the keys. You approve or you disapprove, that's the way that it's going. Now, I know this is shocking. I know that I've shared this with some people, and it's just like, it's almost like I got two heads. Look it up. We're going to get into this some more because it is very significant. It is time for the body of Christ to begin to function as the ecclesia. We'll be back right after this short break.
Jesus said, I will build my church or ecclesia. Ecclesia identified those who were called out to vote on issues that determine their culture. Jesus expects us to positively influence our culture with equality, liberty, and justice for all.
I want to take a look now at some application of this. When Jesus said, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. In other words, whatever you allow or whatever you forbid is what's going to happen. This is the best explanation to church history that I can come up with. I do not believe that a lot of the things that has happened throughout church history, that God was behind them. A lot of people say, well, yeah, but God allowed it. Well, in this verse, he says, I give you the keys. You're the one deciding what to allow and what to forbid. You know, just a real quick one that to me is one of the worst time periods of church history is the Inquisition, when people were being killed or forced to proclaim Jesus as their Lord. In that, That's not how God wants to do it. That's not scripture. That's not gospel. But that's what the church allowed. And God said, if you allow it, I'll allow it. And you see, we've got the keys. You know, my son, sometimes we're going somewhere, and so I'll take my keys and I'll just toss them to him. And I'll say, you drive. I'm giving him the keys and saying, you drive. Well, in this case, Jesus said, I'm giving you the keys. That was the spoken part. The unspoken part was you driving. You are driving. Where are you going to take us? And you see, again, a lot of things in history with the church, especially the bad things in church history, it was the church driving. It wasn't God. And we've got to understand that from God's vantage point, this ecclesia has the keys of the kingdom. The body of Christ, if you would, as we are functioning in leadership, we have the keys of the kingdom. Hell can't really stop us when we function. The gates of hell will not prevail against us. So it's up to us. Again, this is the best explanation for church history. When we understand what the ecclesia is, the ecclesia, again, are those who are allowed to vote to determine things. Now, in our society, in our country, there's too many Christians that don't vote, that they don't engage in the culture of the world. Well, that's secular. And, you know, God's will is going to happen anyway. Well, in other words, what you're saying is Jesus did not give us the keys. Jesus didn't tell us that whatever we bind would be bound, whatever we would loose would be loosed. Now, he didn't mean that. That's not true. Well, I believe what he said was true. We've got the keys. So what are we going to do? And another parable that I'll pull in here on that. If you remember the parable of the talents, he gave one person one talent. He gave another two. He gave another five. When they came back, the one that had five had 10. One that had two had four. The one that only had one talent said, hey, you know, I know that you reap where you haven't sowed. So, you know, I made sure I gave you back what you gave me. So I buried it. And so what's happening with a lot of Christians is they're actually burying something that God has given them. God has blessed us in this country with the right to vote. And let me just say this. I'm not here to tell you who to vote for. Don't misunderstand me on that. I'm not here to tell you that. But I'm here to tell you, and over time, we're going to get into what the scripture says about government, what God thinks about government. You see, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And it actually goes on and basically identifies two other types of knowledge that creates destruction. You got lack of knowledge, you've got rejected knowledge, and you've got forgotten knowledge. All three of those are in that passage that identifies why God's people are destroyed. Now, again, if God's just dictating everything, then it would be we're destroyed because it was the will of God. But that's not what the prophet said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. If you would, in the realm of government, see, we tend to not think. We have been programmed, separation of church and state, separation of church and state. Well, if you want to really know what separation of church and state means, go to the Bill of Rights. Congress can't establish a religion, nor should it prohibit the free exercise thereof. That is the wall of separation. In other words, the government is supposed to stay out of religion. It can't establish it, but it also can't prohibit it. But they're doing a whole lot of prohibiting right now. And they have been for a number of decades. That is the wall of separation. And we've got to understand it. And we've got to take a stand. But you see, we haven't been taught what ecclesia means. Oh, we're the ecclesia. We're called out. Glory to God. We're called out. We're God's people. We're called out. We're not of the world. That's not what that word meant. It basically called out to determine what's going to go on. God wants you to be a part of determining what's going to go on. You're supposed to affect and impact the culture. Now, with that, when we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge or rejected knowledge, and see, some people, as they'll hear this, they will reject the knowledge. No, that's not right. Well, okay, enjoy the destruction. And I say that sarcastically. I don't really mean it that way. But I'm just saying it so you understand. When we reject the truth of God's word, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, if we reject the truth, then we're going to have a problem. Things are going to happen. And it won't be what God wants. It won't be his will that is taking place. Rejected knowledge, forgotten knowledge. See, America at one point knew what God's word said about government. Our founding fathers knew what it said, and they built it into the Declaration of Independence. They built it into the Constitution. But we've forgotten the biblical base for that. See, we have three branches of government: executive, judicial, and legislative. The reason that we have three branches of government is because Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22 says that the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, and the Lord is our king. If you would, that identifies three branches of government. He's the judge, he's the lawgiver, he's the king. Judicial, legislative, executive. They based our structure on Scripture. Now, they also understood where God is perfect, ain't none of us perfect. And so that's why there were checks and balances and made sure that not one part had control and that they actually offset each other, because we do have a sin nature, and we'll say more about that later. But let's go ahead and take a break now, and we'll be right back after this message.
You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
In this situation that we're talking about, that Jesus said, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, we need to be thinking about how the city structures were back in that day. All the cities were surrounded by walls. We're not really familiar with that. You know, like where I live, the town I live, there's no walls around that. There's no walls around the neighboring cities. But back then, every community, basically, of any size, now not the little small ones, but any of any size, had walls around them. And if you would, those walls all had gates. They all had gates. And for lack of a better phrase, the keys were what accessed the gates. You could lock the gates and forbid entry, or you could unlock the gates and provide entry into the city. So when Jesus gave keys to the ecclesia, he was actually giving control of the gates. Now, that's part of why he said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Now, again, part of what happened in that day and time, a little bit of history lesson here, is when the people that had the right to vote, and whether it was the Greek city-states or in the nation of Israel, if you read throughout the Old Testament, you'll see them talking about the elders in the gates. Well, what that's talking about is, if you would, city elders, those who had been selected to have a vote and to determine what went on in the city, what went into the community, so forth and so on. Was it permitted or was it forbidden? And you see, at that point, a city at its primary gate, that's where they would meet to hold those votes for the most part. Now, at that juncture, if an enemy came, then they would come from their city. If they were going to attack this other city, they would hold a meeting at their gate. Their leaders would hold a meeting there. If it was a king, you know, he would decree it, and then his army, they would be out there. They would line up at the gate to be able to start marching toward the other city. In other words, the statement of the gates of hell will not prevail is talking about the plans, the schemes, the agenda that is driven by the devil, by hell. And Jesus said those won't prevail. Won't prevail against what? Well, it won't prevail against the ecclesia. In other words, your ability to lock or unlock, to bind or to loose, as you are involved in determining what happens in the culture, your keys cannot be overridden by the plans of the devil. But the bottom line is what the body of Christ has done is we have abandoned the gates. We have abandoned the gates. So anything is coming in. Anything and everything is coming in. You know, I'm thinking right now of the U.S. Attorney General that basically insinuated and very close to saying that any parents who show up at school board meetings and passionately protest against certain policies are the equivalent of domestic terrorists. I mean, I was shocked to read it. I actually heard somebody mention it. I had to go find it to make sure it was true. Well, you see what that is. You see, what are the walls for? You know, the gates are within the walls. What are the walls for? The walls are to prevent things from coming in and to protect what's on the inside. You see, there's a culture right now that is wanting to protect this culture from its people, from those who are people of faith. Things are set up. There are walls erected right now to prohibit that. Even Terry McAuliffe made the statement that parents shouldn't have control or influence over their children's education. In other words, we are building a wall here, and we don't want parents deciding what's going on the inside. That's also why when a lot of parents, when school came home during the pandemic, and they started telling, oh, don't let your parents see what's happening. And then some parents saw it and said, what in the world is going on? Well, you see, they have erected a wall, and they are manning the gates. Unfortunately, the people manning the gates right now are not believers. They're not Christians. And so what they are allowing in, what they're permitting, and what they're keeping out are the wrong things. We can't blame them. We abandon the gates. There's never a vacuum or void of leadership. Just never will be. Because if someone abdicates, somebody else always steps in. There's always another influence that moves in at that point. And you see what Jesus is really saying here, you're supposed to be the gates. I'm giving you the keys. You got control of the gate. You have to decide what comes in. You have to decide what is not allowed to come in. But we have abandoned the gates. It's time that we, as children of God, decide that we're going to be city elders in our communities. Work together, not just one person's opinion, but collectively, that we're going to start manning the gates. It's very important that we do so. We'll be right back after this message.
Want to make a difference in your community? Check out cityelders.com or search City Elders Augusta County, Virginia. City Elders exist to influence government spiritually, politically, and economically so that life is protected, liberty is defended, Christ is exalted, and families can flourish. See about helping start a group in your area.
Again, glad to have you with us today. And on this, a phrase that fits into all of this. Because when you begin to understand the proper usage of the word ecclesia, it begins to change how you see some of the things Jesus said. But if you don't understand ecclesia, if you really just, oh, it's the church, it's the called out ones, then some of his statements, we go, oh, wow, wasn't that wonderful? And actually what I'm thinking about right now is where he said, you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. You know, if we think that, you know, ecclesia, church is, oh, the called out ones, oh, isn't that wonderful? Yeah, we're salt, we're light, woo, okay, great. What does that mean? That's really where we are. You know, what is the impact of light? What is the impact of salt? We just really, it's so vague to us. But when we realize that we're the ecclesia, we are the ones called out to determine the culture, called out to vote and determine the culture. When we realize that, and then we talk about salt, and then we talk about light, changes the ballgame. We begin to see things a little different. You see, you as the salt of the earth, you are the preservative. You're the preservative. But if we abandon the gate, there's no preservative there. There is no management of that gate determining what gets in and what gets excluded. We've abandoned it. At that point, the salt's lost its savor. Nothing's happening. And Jesus said, it'll be trodden underfoot of men. And basically part of what we're seeing today is the beginning of the trodding underfoot of the church in America. I don't believe it's going to continue down that path, but let's just look at the whole concept that happened at the very beginning of COVID. Church is non-essential. The bar is essential. The abortion clinic is essential. All of these other things are essential. Church is not. What does that mean? It means there's nobody from the church in the gates determining what's going on. We don't have enough influence in the gates of the city. And so things are coming in and the wrong things are being excluded. Prayers being excluded, scriptures being excluded. Because we abandon the gates of the city. We're not dealing with the wall. That wall that was designed for protection, it's been abandoned. We're no longer salt. Light. The other thing Jesus said, we're the light of the world. What is necessary for darkness? Darkness is actually just the absence of light. And you see, any part of society that the church decides we're not going to be a part of that immediately reverts to darkness, because darkness is the absence of light. We have to inject ourselves into all areas of society, because if we do not, darkness will prevail. This is not rocket science. I'm definitely not a rocket scientist. You take the light off, you flip the switch, darkness is there. It prevails. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. All of that comes back to us being the ecclesia, determining the culture. The salt determines the flavor. The light determines your function. If it's all dark, you can't function. But light, you can see how to move. A little bit of salt, food tastes good. We're supposed to be salt and we're supposed to be light. It's all tied to the ecclesia. And there's so many things that Jesus said about that are so important. Well, let's take a break for a commercial and we'll be right back.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977. Producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at augustaseed.com.
We're back, and I want to let you know what we're wanting to do, what we're wanting to accomplish out of this podcast. What are our goals? because this isn't just, oh, that's neat. That's something nice to learn. Everything that we're going to be talking about is designed to have an action produced from it. All of it's going to be that. There's things that we will learn, but if you would, that then gets blended into the actions. But there's three primary things that we want to accomplish from this. These are three goals. Number one, to enlighten. As we talked about, Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Christians today do not understand what God's word says about government. So we are left to our own thoughts, and we're building on sand rather than on the rock. And is it any wonder when the storms come, the sand gets washed away and the house crumbles? Because we're not building on the rock anymore. It's all our thoughts because we haven't been taught. We need to know. We need to be enlightened. Number two, engage. We want you to engage. I'm not here to tell you how you have to engage. That's something that you've got to work out between you and the Lord. You and people are at different stages in life, different seasons in life. I'm not here to say every Christian has to do this. I'm not saying that. Other than every Christian needs to engage, and then you need to find out from your own walk with the Lord to what level you need to do that, because you are the ecclesia. You are called out to determine what happens. You've been given the keys. Now, where are you driving us? Have you took your hands off the wheel? Well, if you've taken your hands off the wheel, it's time to get them back on. And we need to get them back on collectively together. So enlighten, engage. And then number three is encourage. And specifically, I want to encourage candidates. I want to encourage people to run for various offices. See, part of the problem is good people don't want to engage in the messiness. We can do some things about that. There's things that can be done to make that better. You might say, well, I don't see what it is. I understand. And sometimes I even have my doubts on that. But I do believe that I believe Jesus. He said he gave us the keys. We can bind, we can loose, we allow, we forbid. I'm going to believe him. But in this, being a candidate, being in that type of position, it's not for everybody. Everybody's not, I don't know how many people really want to do it, but the bottom line is we need good people to do it. And part of the problem right now, in all honesty, is a lot is done. A lot of the messiness is done with intent to keep good people from wanting to run. To keep good people from wanting to engage. Just stay out of it. If you come over here, we're going to start throwing all kinds of stuff at you. It has an intent. And there's a part of that. We're just going to have to go, okay, fine, go ahead. But I'm not going to sit and do nothing anymore. We're going to have to go back to the gates of the city. We're going to have to be the ecclesia. We're going to have to pick up the keys that Jesus gave us and make a difference. And I pray that you'll join us in that.
You've been listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard. Follow us on podbean.com. Also available on Facebook at Liberty Justice HQ and online at libertyjusticehq.com.